the very beginning of Luke's gospel. Those who were in our Sunday school class know this well. At the very beginning of Luke's gospel is an account by Luke of Jesus going to his home synagogue. He went to Nazareth. And Jesus apparently had already begun his ministry, and when he went there, he went in. Certainly he knew the ushers and greeters. He knew the people who were playing the organ. He knew the rabbis. He knew people who would be taking up the offering. And there were attendants who were responsible for the scrolls. They weren't in book form. They were in papyrus. They were in scroll form. And so apparently at a certain moment, the rabbis who were leading that meeting suggested to the attendants, take the scroll to young Jesus. He's doing amazing things. And so they took the scroll to Jesus, and he turned in Isaiah to the place where it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, it's not hard to understand that Jesus' ministry is about freedom. Freedom from the absence of hope, freedom from captivity of all kinds, freedom from blindness, freedom from oppression, and freedom from want. And Jesus goes through Galilee and Judea and sets people free with his ideas and his healing and his compassion and his kindness. And that's one of the reasons you and I are here, because we are followers of this Savior who went into the world announcing freedom with all he was. His ministry, I think, seems incomprehensible, really, in contrast to the military power and might of Rome and the ancient story of Judaism. But you and I both should know that he turns both of them on their ears, because Jerusalem and Israel was overrun in the year 70. And by the 4th century, Constantine had converted to Christianity, and the Roman Empire was no more. The real question now is how Jesus' rule and reign affects not a religion and continents, but how it affects you and me. That's what I wrote in the bulletin, and that's what I wrote in At the Lake that Jen sends out. Well, this morning, Jesus sends 70 people to every town and place where he intended to go himself. And he gives them instruction, and he teaches them to travel lightly and to learn to put their trust in God. And he tells them to cure the sick of all things and to say, wherever they go, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Have you ever said that to your neighbor? Ever said that to anybody? You know, the kingdom of God has come near. Why? Well, because I'm here. Jesus challenges them to give themselves away in service. He challenges them to share his compassion and care. He challenges them to share good news. And they do what he tells them. And when they return, they celebrate with Jesus the joy that was theirs. We just read that. Well, today, you and I are grateful for this country and for its people. We're grateful for all who've given of themselves to make our freedoms possible. And I'm grateful we have the freedom to examine our past and understand we have been short-sighted and narrow in our thinking about race and gender. I'm grateful we have the freedom to speak our minds about who is truly important and who it is that matters, and to say that. I'm grateful we have the ability to learn from different people about influences that are pressed upon us by those afraid to change. And I'm grateful we have the freedom to write in the press and in the media about what different people see is happening, even though all those accounts may disagree. That's part of our freedoms as Americans, and we know that. Yes, I'm grateful for purple mountains and amber waves of grain. I'm grateful to live in North Carolina with a coast that offers beaches and wetlands that are alive with life. But I do not want our waters choked by pollution or by plastic. I'm grateful for the Great Smoky Mountains, but I do not want our evergreens destroyed by the smoke from coal mines in Pennsylvania and West Virginia, from steel mills in Pittsburgh. I'm grateful that people have given their lives in far-flung places around the world. I worked one summer at the Peaks of Otter Lodge in Bedford, Virginia, and it was remarkable. I worked at the front desk for many weeks beside a man named Ray Nance. Ray Nance was in the regiment that came to be known as the Bedford Boys, and if anybody knows the history of D-Day, they know that Bedford, Virginia suffered more losses per capita than any part of the country. Ray Nance had been in the very first wave of the D-Day invasion, and he lost 95% of his friends and his brothers from Bedford. I'm grateful for those who stormed the beach at Normandy and other places around the world and made it possible for us to experience freedom as we know it as a country. Somehow God has been at work in their sacrifice. And all of these, I say these things so that you and I might be one in our gratitude for all that God has provided for us as Americans. Just now, our country is challenged by a dangerous nationalism that focuses more on ourselves than suffering people. It focuses on one race and one people, their privileges and their rights. And it seems to me that the freedom to be an American is a shared freedom. The phrase that we heard in Charlottesville, "Jews will not replace us," is rather scary. It's rather frightening. And I suppose freedom of speech offers the opportunity for some to express their fears and their hatred. But you and I are not to be about hatred and fear and anger. There is no place for hate that fears the immigrant. We're all immigrants, really. And when we become a nation that is centered on itself, we forget our calling as a Christian people. When Martin Luther King Jr. stood up at the Lincoln Memorial in August 1963, he used the song that we will sing at the end of our service today. And he spoke of a dream about a better America, and he dreamed of a day when all God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, he went on to say, this must become true. Let freedom ring, and all that we seek to do as God's people. Let freedom ring, the freedom of Jesus Christ in our mission as believers. And for me, let freedom ring means let freedom be a reality. So let freedom ring in the detention camps where people seeking asylum are held. Let freedom ring in the warehouses where children separated from their parents are being held. Let freedom ring in the minds of lawmakers and leaders who want to go it alone in the world as a nation. Let freedom ring in the heads of people who believe there is no global warming, no climate changing. No need to care about our environment. We're okay. As well, let freedom ring in nursing homes where there are grandparents who are shackled by despair. Let freedom ring in the hearts of lonely people because someone cares about them. Freedom needs to ring there too, doesn't it? There are beautiful families in lovely homes all around us here in West Huntersville who are lonely and conflicted because they do not know God's grace. Let freedom ring in their souls because they learn of an abundant life in Christ. And you and I have something to do with that. There are parents in Huntersville who are unable to help their children read. Let freedom ring in the brains of parents and children because some of you are helping them to read and giving them books, thank God. There are couples whose marriages are bound by infidelity and distrust. Let freedom ring in the relationships that seem over. Let them ring with hope. There are homeless neighbors who've made one mistake after another and who suffer the consequences. Let freedom ring in the exchanges people like you and I make with them so that they may develop over time a different way to live. There are students who are addicted to drugs. That's a serious problem in this world. Let freedom ring through counselors and teachers and parents and friends who help them find another way. And there are teenagers who are ready to end their lives. Let freedom ring in their young hearts because someone cares for them, makes a place for them, develops a ministry for them. This morning, you and I are grateful for our country and for all the freedoms we enjoy. Now, we may thank God for those who've been on the front lines of conflict on our behalf. It's an oversight if you and I forget that we are still on the front lines of bringing this world the freedom that Jesus offered those people in Galilee. It's an oversight if you and I get caught up in the celebration of freedom that we forget others who are still not free. When we stand up and sing our final song this morning, remember, we are people in mission, and you and I still have the ability to let freedom ring in the way we vote, in the way we work, in the way we serve others. Let freedom ring. I'll leave you with this thought. Some of you remember Irma Bombeck. Irma Bombeck, I had a high school friend who sent me this on my Facebook. She said, "You have to love a nation that celebrates its independence every July 4th, not with a parade of guns, tanks, and soldiers who file by the White House in show of strength and muscle, but with family picnics where kids throw frisbees, the potato salad gets iffy, and the flies die from happiness." Now, you may think you've overeaten, but it's patriotism, says Irma Bombeck. Let us pray.